nogen der. Og din mine er spændt til at fordise hos kramen. Don't need no ticket, you just bang the law. Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and bottom. There's room for all, among the love and most.
A song that I have been familiar with for a very good part of my life. Aside from the original version written by Curtis Mayfield and performed by he and the Impressions back in the 1960s, what I've begun to share with you on the air tonight is the most amazing version I have ever seen or heard. Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart. They were both considerably younger than they are today, but then we all were. If you're interested in seeing this video, I've actually published it over at Sierra Madre Precious Metals tonight. It is a mind blower. Interesting enough, a little bit later in the day, I saw another version of this song, also by Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart, but it was performed on a stage many, many years later than this video. And Jeff Beck actually opened it up with the in total intent of just playing the musical set. And then unbeknownst to him, from the backstage, out walks Rod Stewart. And Beck didn't even see him. And all of a sudden, Stewart began to sing it. And Beck just covered his eyes. He couldn't believe it. Good evening. Welcome to a Monday night installment, The Edge of Darkness. Oh, and as for me, I'm waiting for that train. This world is a mess. I grow real weary, real tired. You know, as I've commented to you recently, I'm way behind on where my websites need to be. I made a decision yesterday morning that there needs to be some changes. About a year and a half ago, I moved my web hosts to a company that has been an absolute nightmare from day one. And I finally made a decision. It's time to begin moving them back. And it just going to take some time. It'll take about a week per website to do what I want done. But I've had too many difficulties with drkelly.info, which is drkelly.net now, and just oddball things that just aren't right. And I wound up having a major problem with Federal Observer a while ago. I shut the entire website down for, in effect, what was meant to be a 24-hour period. And I believe it was for an anniversary of 9/11. And I had one image on the front page paying tribute to so many people. And unfortunately for me, all the articles that I had removed from the site, I had moved into a draft location. Somehow it got moved into a trash location. So I had to begin putting a bunch of work to getting things restored, et cetera, et cetera. But I couldn't get them all done at one time. And all of a sudden, thousands of articles just disappeared. Apparently, they made a decision to empty the trash for me. So I've had enough. The process has begun. We'll let you know as things go along. I have posted a note on drkelly.net informing people about the upcoming changes. The next site after that will be metropolis.cafe, and we'll keep you up to date on it. I did do some posting on Federal Observer over the last day or so. And there was an interesting article that I came across that was originally titled, Biden Administration Sues Arizona Over Law Requiring Proof of Citizenship to Vote in Federal Elections. Well, that may have been the original title, but I made a decision to change the title. The title now is, You Want to Know Why Everything is So Effed Up? Now think about what the administration's suing Arizona for. Regarding Arizona's law requiring proof of citizenship to vote in federal elections. I mean, the Justice Department contends that Arizona's HB 2492 violates the National Voter Registration Act and the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So the Justice Department jumps on the bandwagon, sues Arizona over this law, which is slated to take effect next year. You know, I never had a problem. In the days when I would walk in to cast a vote, I had to prove some degree of whatever and show ID, et cetera, et cetera. But everything's gotten so damn loosey-goosey in this country, it's sickening. You know, you start looking at this stuff and you wonder why this nation is such a damn mess. It's appalling. So this court complaint was filed somewhat recently. The law is stated to take effect January of next year in Arizona. The complaint alleges the law would throw thousands of voters off the rolls. Well, if they're not citizens, they've got no right to be registered. Except the problem is in this country today, ladies and gentlemen, is that registration doesn't mean one damn thing. I've never signed up for the desire to cast my vote in the mail. I've never requested that. And yet we keep getting this stuff in the mail all the time. My wife and I never signed up to cast a vote by mail. I walk in and cast my vote. Except that some years ago I said enough is enough. I ain't wasting my time anymore. According to Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the U.S. Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, she has stated that for nearly three decades, the National Voter Registration Act has helped to move states in the right direction by eliminating unnecessary requirements that have historically made it harder for eligible voters to access the registration rolls. There was nothing that was historically made it harder. They had to get off their ass and go down and sign up in a proper location. But now she's squawking that Arizona's passed a law that turns the clock back on progress by imposing how many illegal votes have been cast around this country, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And as I stated last week, some damn senator, and I saw the video, and I can't think of his name, but I know what the ugly bastard looks like, on microphone in the U.S. Senate made some statement about the need to continue to import these illegals because it would help the Democrats' voting situation. Turns back the clock. Block eligible voters from the registration rolls for certain federal elections. Our governor, Doug Ducey, signed the HB 2492 into law this past March. At the time, he said the law would prohibit any attempt to illegally cast a vote. And he called it a balanced approach that honors Arizona's history of making voting accessible without sacrificing security in our elections. Now, in this article, which we have published at Federal Observer right now, I've also added an additional link, a related link, And the title of that related link is Biden's Bid to Take Over Elections. You think about these things. They're insane. In its court complaint, the Department of Justice said the new law also violated a 2013 high court ruling related to another Arizona lawsuit, saying that the state cannot require prospective voters using the federal form from submitting anything than the form requires, such as proof of citizenship. Excuse me. That is what it requires to be able to vote, or it used to be. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich says he plans to fight the lawsuit. He says, in addition to free rooms and transportation for those illegally entering our country, the Department of Justice now wants to give them a chance to vote. There's something deadly wrong with this mess, people. Oh, but if you think that's the end of this story, well, it kind of is. That's just kind of the beginning of it. Now let's go into another area. The Lone Star State. If they seem to be standing on their own, doing what is necessary. Border agents have arrested nearly 26,000 migrants at 5 Texas sectors in less than a week as Governor Abbott has defied Biden and claims new enforcement power. And of the 26,000 migrants apprehended, according to Monday's report, 10,000 were in the Texas border town of Eagle Pass. And the Del Rio border sector saw the largest share with 12,000 migrants. Migrants, they're invaders, being apprehended by border agents there. And the Rio Grande Valley reportedly falls in second, with the remaining three being El Paso, Laredo, and the Big Bend sectors. Now get this, the six-day total arrested in the five sectors is more than half the total of 40,000 estimated to have been apprehended across the entire southwestern border. Now why is all of this so damned important? Why should we even waste our time talking about it? Just bear with us. And you shall understand. Last week, the Republican officials signed an executive order directing the Texas National Guard and Texas Department of Public Safety to arrest these migrants and return them to the border. He and other Republican politicians have piled blame onto the Biden administration for failing to secure our southwestern border as a record surge in asylum seekers as recently as May, threatens to buckle the government's immigration infrastructure. That is their intent. State and local governments on the border, as well as humanitarian groups there, have been calling on the White House to mount a stronger federal response and warning their own resources are being stretched to the breaking point. Of the 26,000 migrants apprehended, according to Monday's report, 10,000 were in the Texas border town of Eagle Pass. Now, we've shared some of the other figures with you. Now, that is just about all I have posted. It is an extremely lengthy article. I've added the reference to continue. Now, here's the thing that is so bloody interesting. You know where I came across this article? I came across this article not even in an American publication. And the link that I'm providing you will take you to the complete location. It's published in a UK publication called DailyMail.com. It is amazingly lengthy. Lots of images, lots of descriptions. I'm sitting here looking at a map right now. Very, very intense. You see the borders. You see where these five main areas of apprehension, one of them very close to Arizona, El Paso. Unbelievable. Illegal immigrants being rounded up by the authorities. And they're on the bus. And of course, they're also sad. And of course, they all got cell phones. The whole nine yards. It's sickening. absolutely sickening, the stuff these people have. This is a very lengthy article. I would urge you to go read it. Take a good, strong look. Ask yourself, why aren't these stories being reported in this country? Why do I have to go to a British publication to read this? It is absolutely profound to me. And now let's get to the real reason why we've shared these two stories about the illegals coming here and wanting to vote and not have to prove their citizenship. The illegals that continue to come into this country that my friend Buck Mallard and I just got off the phone an hour ago. Here Buck sits. He makes 50 bucks more in Social Security than they would like it, so he can't even get the right kind of health care, and he's in bad shape. But these illegals come in here and get free health care, and they get a place to stay and to sleep, and they get food, and they get free education, and they get clothing, and they get cell phones, and they get all this nonsense. And what do we get for it? Some things that we don't want in so many instances, because in effect, in many respects, what we're doing is we are inviting criminals into this country in so many different ways. Late in June, my friend Justin Smith watched a segment on Fox News that spotlighted the recent increase in fentanyl seizures and deaths in America. And that viewing prompted an online conversation that made Justin look further into the fentanyl and overall drug problem in America today. And increasingly, they're going hand in hand. The situation gases become ever more deadly in small-town America. But I can assure you it's become as deadly in large-town America as well. What Justin has chosen to do, and I am absolutely blown away with the work that he's done in this program. Justin writes for us a lot. We share a lot of his work on air. We post it, of course. But what he has chosen to write is a result of this conversation. And he believes that many fine and decent conservative Christian independent Americans are going to understand his conclusions. And he says he already knows many right in the middle of Tennessee who believe the heads of massive drug operations should be executed. Treat them just as we finally did the mafia crime organization, the Islamic terrorism, in the manner that we searched them out. Infiltrated them, destroyed them, and each time the head is replaced. Lop it off until no one else desires the job and the organization eventually falls apart for want of guidance. Oh, my God, does this upset you? But, Bennett, how can you allow Justin to talk that way? That's so anti-Christian. Excuse me. During a 2018 campaign rally in Moon Township, Pennsylvania, for Rick Saccone, a congressional candidate, President Trump broached the idea of the death sentence for drug dealers, and he said, I think it's a discussion we have to start thinking about. And he says, I don't know if we're ready. I don't know if this country's ready for it. But during that same year, Trump tweeted, which was my biggest problem with him, and he tweeted by saying, consider it to be the worst and most dangerous, addictive, and deadly substance of them all. Last year, over 77,000 people died from fentanyl. And if China cracks down on this horror drug using the death penalty for distributors and pushers, the results will be incredible. And that statement was made on December 5th of 2018. But Justin makes this interesting statement, that Americans need to awaken to the destruction, the real harm this drug epidemic is doing to our country and our people. Stop being so damn squeamish over killing those who have earned that death and then some. Just like a doctor might cut a cancer from one's body, the American people must cut the cancer of fentanyl from society, eradicating it and its merchants completely. There isn't any American parent who should be made to suffer the pain, the anguish, the grief of burying one of their children. But there's a perfect storm of criminal activity and evil found in the coordination of the China fentanyl crime syndicate, the Mexican drug cartels, the Biden regime criminal abandonment of their lawful charge on the southern border. You defend America for such activity, all of which is resulting in thousands of Americans being poisoned each and every year by fentanyl. And many of these so-called safe drugs are being laced with fentanyl by the Mexican drug cartels. And they're just doing China's dirty work to kill Americans and subvert our society with this poison. It's costing us the lives of too many of our children, one of which was mine. All of this due to what is too often just a one-time mistake, a youthful indiscretion by maybe a young person who fails to understand their own mortality properly. In effect, my friends, that real evil exists. Never before in the entirety of American history has it ever been more important than today to just say no to drugs, as the old phrase from the Reagan era takes on new meaning and significance. In many respects, is the best advice one can follow in a time when so many Percocet and OxyContin and Xanax pills are laced with deadly fentanyl, and a one-time experimentation may be one's first and last. On June 20th of 2022, just weeks ago, in an online conversation about fentanyl as it pertains to America's drug problem, in part, Justin suggested that poor parenting was one segment of the problem. Although he went on to state that kids being kids just sometimes mess up no matter how well they've been taught. And then tragically, Alexandra Capelluto, a 20-year-old resident of Temecula, California, a sophomore at Arizona State University, which is where my eldest granddaughter has attended. Alexandra was found dead of fentanyl poisoning in her bedroom by her parents, Matt and Christine Capelluto, on December 23rd of 2019, after she had taken half a pill that she had purchased from someone on Snapchat that was supposed to be oxycodone. And with part of their hearts ripped from their chests and a void left in the family, Alexandra's death moved both her parents to ensure that this would never happen again to anyone's child, as Christine and Matt Capelluto and many others worked tirelessly in attempting to pass legislation, Alexandra's law in California, that would authorize drug dealers to be charged with manslaughter or murder when their drugs resulted in the death of any person. But typically and unfortunately, Alexandra's law failed to pass in California's state legislature on January 11th, 2022. But we have to keep in mind that many of the legislatures in Arizona and the marvelous governor that they've got over there seems to be in major favor of illegals, many of whom are drug traffickers. The last month, Mr. Capelluto explained to Justin that poor parenting is not always the case in why many turn to drugs. There's often underlying issues or backstories that are out of parents' control. My wife and I, he stated, raised four beautiful daughters. We never condone drug use. We're a two-parent family. And we're strong in our Christian faith, as was Alex. All of my kids are doing great things to contribute to society. Alex is just doing it from heaven. The real evil here is those responsible for making and distributing this poison. They bear the burden of the blame. We must cut off the supply of these deadly man-made chemicals, which only serve a purpose to addict and fuel greed and kill. But as Jason said, it's more than just kids that are dying from fentanyl poisoning. The demographic ranges between the ages of 18 to 45. Yes, my friends, there's so much more to America's current malaise of drug abuse and addiction. Whether we speak of the Hollywood film and music industry's propaganda that glamorize drug use, or simply the immoral men and women who prey on the most innocent and vulnerable people in society to perpetuate this evil trade as a means for them to accrue great wealth. Or those in authority, elected officials and police officers who violate the public trust to profit from the drug trade. And inasmuch as this problem has reached epidemic proportions in our country, all knowledgeable, decent, and caring Americans must do better to teach our country's children to reject all illicit drug use and never accept anything for ingestion that they have not received from a trustworthy family member or doctor. Retrieve whatever ails them, whether the ailment is mental or physical. And so we return to the death of Alexandra, just one of the many thousands of similar cases becoming increasingly a common and horrible scene put before many other parents and loving family members. People like Jaime Puerta, who found his son Daniel dead in his bedroom from a fentanyl poisoning. And these parents will never completely heal from so tragic an event and a person that they love meeting their end far too soon. Especially when the life they were seeking was filled with so damn much potential. You know, it is so frustrating to share a story like this one, for reasons that I referenced here moments ago. Yes, this is what my son passed away from. Many years ago, he was deeply involved with sports. Hockey was his primary. And he was badly injured. I happened to be at the game and took him to the hospital. And they wound up prescribing some medicine to him that he had never taken before. Now, don't misunderstand. Our son had tried weed and that kind of stuff. You know, no big deal. But he was never into drugs. We'll share this when we come back. Stay with us, won't you? It's a growing business of some people in the street who do not have a job over nothing. The bottom falling out. All the people slipping through the cracks. Well, you can run and hide, but you just can't change the facts.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Storm. Riders of the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and packed her out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet memories will die. Killer on the road. Yeah.
As I mentioned to Michael, interesting piece of music to come back with from a guy who croaked of an overdose. Welcome back to an interesting program. It is, as I worked on this the other day and posted this on Federal Observer, that which I'm sharing with you, I felt very strongly that I needed to do this program. And it is hurtful. As many of you know, I lost my son almost a year ago. And 10 and a half months ago. And as I was beginning to share with you that he had been injured in a sporting situation, playing hockey, ice hockey. And I took him to the hospital, and they gave him some prescriptions. that one thing leads to another, trying to get rid of the constant pain, the discomfort, and one thing goes here and there, and eventually the fentanyl. I recall several years ago, he almost died in our house. He was here. His daughter was here. My lovely granddaughter, Sneaky Bob. And she was in the other room, and he'd walked out on the street and met a pickup truck down the street and apparently picked up a couple of, $25, picked up a couple of pieces of fentanyl. And came back here and went in his room and locked the door. And she was trying to get in after a few minutes, a short while. And knocking on the door, Daddy, let me in, Daddy, let me in. And something wasn't right. She knew how to get in that room by going through the bathroom. And he was gagging. He was turning completely white and purple and the whole nine yards. And thank God my son-in-law was here and saved his life. Of course, we called ER, and they hauled him off to the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. But eventually, in time, the fentanyl took over, and that's what he passed away with. So, defying any true logic, all powers of reasoning, somehow a judicial commissioner, Mickey Beresomo, the Tulare County Superior Court in California, recently deemed it just absolutely fine and proper to release two Washington men without bail after they had been caught transporting 151,000 fentanyl pills worth about $750,000. Oh, they were also carrying around a couple of kilograms of cocaine worth about $60,000 through Tulare County. And that was just weeks ago, on June 24th of 2022. And so a furor was raised after the sheriff's department discovered they'd been released on June 27th, 3 days later. And although Judge Nathan Leedy soon rescinded their release and issued arrest warrants for the two Washington men, who, by the way, face a minimum of 14 years each in prison, they are now nowhere to be found. Long gone, most likely not to be found for a long, long time, if ever. Can any of you see just how deep this problem now runs through the very fabric of our society, our very institutions? Is it any wonder that we have so massive a drug problem in this country with such gross negligence or outright vile and evil complicity, whichever the case may be? And it was noted by Fox News in 2021, by April 2021, America had witnessed a 233% increase in seizures of fentanyl at our southern border. Currently left totally wide open by the Biden regime. In South Texas alone, fentanyl seizures have increased by 1,066%. In Biden's first year of holding the country and the southern border hostage to his demented, delusional policies. And the danger of the situation posed to our nation on the whole has prompted Senator Tom Cotton to state that fentanyl analogs kill thousands of Americans each year. And to protect our communities from dealers pushing this poison, Biden needs to keep them off the streets, not let them off the hook. My friends, some 70,000 people died of fentanyl poisoning between April of 2021 and April of 2022. And one of those was my son. And between 2019 and the present, approximately 12 tons of fentanyl has been intercepted by the Border Patrol and Drug Enforcement agents, which begs the question just how much has actually made it into America through all the undefended and unprotected areas of the border now open because of Biden's open border policy and this insane invasion of illegal aliens, which has stretched the Border Patrol beyond its capabilities. My wife and I have a personal friend who is a Border Patrol agent. He was one of the most heartbroken people when he came to the funeral for the passing of our son. The two of them were amazingly close. Look, the solution to stopping this deadly fentanyl trade isn't going to be found in the touchy-feely, do-gooder, asinine drug programs of the many leftist-operated cities that actually facilitate drug use with their domain through well-meaning, misguided measures. American people are largely to blame for the current situation because we have allowed it to snowball from the 1960s to the present as America's subculture advocated drug experimentation, escapism, and free love through the decades. The mainstream folks didn't do nearly enough, early enough, during the first days of the drug culture to stem the demand and flow of illegal and new experimental so-called recreational drugs, probably due to the fact that too many policemen and government agents and politicians and elected officials were frankly getting rich from looking the other way. Whenever shipments of these drugs appeared in their sphere of influence and jurisdiction. And on March 10th of this year, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas essentially stated that he and others in the Texas state legislature would move to increase the penalties against those who deal deadly fentanyl in the streets. And he and others like him are definitely on the right track, the right side of the issue. In addressing fentanyl's deadly nature, Abbott stated that they're taking a drug, a pill for the first time, and it'll kill them. This is not a fentanyl overdose. It's poisoning by fentanyl, which we want to make a murder crime in the state of Texas. So chemical compounds necessary to create fentanyl are shipped to Mexican transnational criminal organizations weekly, primarily through the port of Manzanillo, and primarily from China crime organizations like the one operated by Xinjiang, although India is now being courted by these TCOs as a new source as well. TCOs are also increasing their production of fentanyl pills and fentanyl-laced M30 pills, which have regularly been tied to the Sinaloa cartel and the Cartel de Nueva Generacion, two cartels that control drug trafficking corridors from Mexico through California and Arizona. And from this very point, as well as the corridor through Texas, drug cartels managed to supply America's street gangs this illegal and deadly cargo for distribution throughout the interior of America. They've already shipped more than enough fentanyl to kill every person in America several times over. In much in the same manner that Great Britain weakened China through the opium trade in the 1800s, China is now weakening America. And the top leaders of the Chinese Communist Party are benefiting from turning a blind eye to their criminal fentanyl dealers who ship this poison to Mexico. Because their inaction against these criminals is a de facto, not-so-subtle attack against America that does not risk any U.S. military response against China. As of yet. Pleas to Xi to stop the flow of illegal fentanyl have fallen on deaf ears because this current situation tears at America's moral underpinnings and values and virtues and the foundation of American society. My friends, it is past time to make China pay a real cost through trade sanctions, much as Trump was doing to halt a number of Chinese aggressions against the U.S. and the West during his term. But Joey won't do it. That's pretty much a given. Not if past actions of this regime are any indication and this situation does not get corrected until a strong president with some real backbone finally takes office. If this isn't tantamount to a national security issue, pray tell me just what is. Yet in the meantime, many on the left cry that we must not be too hard on dealers because they might be one of our family members one day, as they point out that many dealers started out as users, but there comes a time when the only thing that can work is a tough enough and serious enough position to let these dealers in death understand it will ultimately cost them their lives. It is, my friends, past time to make dealing such poison in America a capital offense that will get one hung or shot in public for all to see. America had better recalculate their reluctance to execute those among us who commit these most heinous of offenses against humanity. Quit making excuses for vile criminals who are nothing more than murderers. Better yet, maybe dose those fentanyl dealers with their own poison in public. Let the people see just what they are selling to America's children. Let the people watch as they die foaming at the mouth with bulging eyes and their body jerking as they go into a seizure. In case anyone's forgotten, the 1994 crime bill signed by Clinton authorized the execution of drug dealers and smugglers. Under Title VI of that bill, the federal death penalty was broadened and focused on approximately 60 heinous crimes, including acts of terrorism, the murder of law enforcement officers, large-scale drug trafficking, the very sort of drug trafficking we're witnessing with alarming frequency in this country today. And as for the cartel members, when one is caught transporting the slightest amount of fentanyl, methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin across our borders, they should be summarily executed on the spot and left to rot on the border with a sign placed on their dead carcass that explains that it's the fate of a drug trafficker in America from that day forward. Do this. Watch how quickly the illegal drug trade dies in America, my friends. During her own family's fight to get tougher penalties against fentanyl dealers, Christine Capilotto was astounded by the number of other children who were killed by this drug on their first use of it, and sadly noted out loud, as if thinking out loud, that these are real people, people's children. And unsure at the time of whether Alexander's law would pass or not, Christine further lamented by stating, "It won't bring our daughter back, but we are adamant about saving lives. We can still laugh and joke and things, but behind the smiles, behind the laughing, it is an emptiness that there really are no words to describe. Justin O. Smith. I had not warned Justin that I would be sharing this tonight. But for personal reasons as well as professional reasons, this story had to be shared. And I had to share it with the opening pieces that dealt with the insanity of the illegals being allowed to come into this country. It is appalling to me. This administration is among the worst, the absolute worst that I've ever seen that has dealt with the invasion of this nation. And how many, what are they bringing? What are they bringing with them? This, my friends, is appalling. Absolutely sickening. And so I thank Justin. Also, I obviously dedicate this program to the memory of my son. I'm not looking for your sympathy. That has nothing to do with this issue. That's not my purpose. There are those of you out there who may have also dealt with similar situations. Maybe not in your immediate family, maybe in another family member, or a distant cousin, or whatever the case may happen to be. But the fact of the matter is, each and every one of us seems to know somebody or know of someone who has been through these very same issues. It is horrific, my friends, what we are witnessing. I, for one, believe very strongly in the death penalty for these. But the thing that becomes interesting to me is those of you who may find this so anti-Christian. Don't play the game with me. Not one bit. It's time that somebody stands up, takes responsibility, does what has to be done. And that's something our government does not want to do. And if we continue to open the doors and allow people to come in from South and Central America and Mexico and India and Afghanistan and God knows how many other nations are being allowed to come in here. And who knows what they're bringing with them. The article, as I mentioned, is published on federalobserver.com. I would strongly urge you to read it, to share it, send the link on to anyone you know. I also might strongly urge, if you care to do so, that's when the archives are up later tonight, grab the link for it, share it far and wide to politicians, to friends, to family, to people who think you're out of your frickin' mind. Do it. These are the only ways that you and I can possibly ever make one single little bit of difference in something in this world. Does that make sense to you? Because if it doesn't, then frankly, you're already brain dead. And if that offends you, then you just don't get it. It's not that in these 10.5 months since I lost my son that I haven't made reference to him. This is the first time I've done a program that has dealt with the issue. I thank Justin. I think it is one of the most amazing pieces he's written. And I thoroughly enjoy his work. This is a topic that must be addressed. It must be shared. It must go to politicians in your city, your county, your state. For those who want to continue to allow the illegals to invade this nation and cause the destruction they're doing is horrible. We reached the end of our time tonight. I'm going to have a piece of music played that I was introduced to some weeks ago. It's a relatively new song by Tom Jones, the singer. It's profound. More and more how I feel about myself. Lord bless you each and every one. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm growing dimmer in the eyes. I'm growing fainter in my talk. I'm growing deeper in my sighs. I'm growing slower in my walk. I'm growing careless of my dress. I'm growing thrifty with my gold. I'm growing wise. I'm growing, yes, I'm growing old. I'm growing drowsy in my chair. And I no longer ponder life. Though I don't say a lock of hair, I often dream about my wife. I'm growing fonder of the fire. I'm growing mindful of the cold. I'm growing wise. I'm growing, yes, I'm growing old. Growing wise, I'm growing, yes, I'm growing old. Yeah, thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.